and welcome to the Love Ministry Broadcast with your host, Reverend Robert Barney and Sister Paula Barney. This is the Love Ministry Broadcast where every step you take, take with Jesus, because every breath you make comes from the Lord. And now, the Love Ministry Broadcast.
Amen, amen. We give the Lord praise. This is Pastor Landis Fisher coming to you live and in living color for Love Radio Ministry. And we're blessed to be here in the studio. We thank God that you've tuned in to our broadcast, and we are blessed, as we said, to be here. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And so, as you know, it is our custom to go before the Lord in prayer before we get into the Word. We've got a couple of really good announcements, and even have a few special guests in the studio here with us today. And so we thank the Lord. Let us go ahead and lift up a word of prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for letting us be here today. Father, we thank you that we are clothed and in our right minds. We bless you for everything you have done. Father, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for this radio broadcast that allows us to spread your word to many, many people. Oh, God, and we pray that you open up hearts and minds and ears in order that they might hear the good news and be blessed. Father, we pray that you forgive us all of our sin, wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us, and deliver us from every unrighteous word, every unrighteous way, every unrighteous thought, and every unrighteous deed. Father, help us, O God, to have strength and victory by your Holy Spirit to overcome the things that the devil would launch against us, O God. And even those things that come from our flesh, O God, help us to have power and just persevere over all those things, Father, that we might continue to walk this walk of faith. Father, teach us all to fix our eyes on your Son, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and help us to realize that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross for all of our sins. And Father, we pray that you bless somebody to come to understand that he alone is the Savior of the world. Father, we pray for your church as a whole, that you would bless the church, O God, in all of her glory. Bless her that she might shine as a light in the midst of darkness, Father. Empower her that she might go on and continue that course that you set her on, that she might finish the good work that you started in her, O God, that she might be that church founded upon the rock against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we give you praise. Father, bless this broadcast and bless your word as it goes forth. We ask this and all other blessings in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. We got some young saints in the studio with us here today that just came to be here to bear witness of this broadcast today. We're going to let them have a chance to say hello. We got Martez. Say hello.
What's up, everyone?
All right. Then we have Kaylin and Chance here.
What's up,
St. Louis? All right, amen, St. Louis. You got some young saints here in the studio with Love Ministry today. And Jono is here, of course. He's kind of chilling over there, so I don't know if he wants to say hello.
What's up, St. Louis?
All right, amen. Amen. We try to get them started young, walking with the Lord, so that they can grow up in Christ. Amen. Having said that, let me give you just a couple of quick announcements that we want to let you know about some things from the Love Ministry is doing out at the J-Max Multipurpose Center at 11830 West Florissant, which is right behind the St. Louis Postal Credit Union on Hall Ferry, right at the end of West Florissant out there. You may be aware of that location, 11830 West Florissant. Write that down. But in either case, we want you to know that there is a flea market, which is scheduled for July 9, 16, 23, and 30. That's July 9, 16, 23, and 30, and that will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on those days, on July the 9th, the 16th, 23rd, and 30th. It's a flea market. Now, you know, if you're interested in setting up a booth, you need to call right now, right away, and get some information about that. You can find out about booth space, which is limited, by dialing 314-868-3338. That's 314-868-3338. And find out if you want to put a booth in there at the J-Max Multipurpose Center at 11830 West Florissant. That's right behind the St. Louis Postal Credit Union on Hall Ferry. And go ahead and make arrangements now. Also, of course, you might be aware that, in case you're not aware, let's say that the J-Max Multipurpose Center is also available for other events. If you would like to have a class reunion, family reunion, any type of event, maybe perhaps a church function that you may be looking for somewhere that you can have that. You can look into renting the J-Max Multi-Purpose Center at 11830 West Florissant, and they have catering available and quite a few other things. If you would like to call and ask about those events, by all means, give us a call at 314-868-3338. And of course, the flea market, we want to make sure you know about that. Pencil that in. If you're not going to get a booth, maybe you may want to come and just rack up on a few things or something to that effect. Hey man, having said that, we want to let you know about that, and you can call in. Of course, we'll give you some numbers when we go off the air. Also, if you'd like further information about that. Hey man, having said that, I have an update on the Straight Gate Ministries. Of course, you know that yours truly is pastor of the Straight Gate Ministries, and we have recently made a few improvements on the website, and this very broadcast will be available, not today, it'll be some delay in posting it on the web, but you will be able to listen to it or refer back to it by going to teachingbible.org. That's teachingbible.org on the World Wide Web, and you can listen to this broadcast again. We know we were having some people who had trouble tuning in at this time, and some people said they were out kind of far, and when the radio station powers down, it was hard for them to hear us. So now we're going to begin to post the broadcast at teachingbible.org on the Internet. So you can listen to it again in the privacy of your own home anywhere on the planet. And it will be available. I don't know how quickly we'll be able to get them loaded up, but they will be starting to be available. And we'll probably keep several weeks of the broadcast on the Internet at teachingbible.org. So by all means, tune in there. And there you can also peruse the website where we have 75 or more sermons that are available from the past couple of years. And we've got some other services that were done outside the church and our outreach ministry in various places. And there's all kinds of good information there and links to other good Christian websites and things where you can kind of educate your mind in the things of Christ. And so by all means, log on to www.teachingbible.org and check in with Straight Gate Ministries online. And there you can also send us an email or leave a prayer request, many things you can do there. And there's a link, I think we have a link there over to the email for Love Radio Ministry as well. And we will be posting the information about the flea market online also as soon as we can get that up on the site. Hey man, having said that, let us go ahead and take a look in the Word. We want to take a look in the New Testament for our teaching today. We're going to take a look at 1 John chapter 3. This is a very interesting section of the Scripture. I'm just going to start here with, I'd like to read a little bit of this first part of the chapter here, 1 John 3, verse number 1. John says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now over in verse number 17, it says this. Same chapter, chapter 3, verse 17. "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and setteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And so here we see John says, realize that you and I are recipients of the love of God. That really knocked him off his feet here in chapter 3, verse number 1. He says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." He was just overwhelmed at how much God loves us. Now, you know, the average person has difficulty accepting and believing that God loves them exactly the way they are. I remember when I was lost and did not know the Lord, it was difficult for me when somebody told me that God loved me for me to receive that. It was like, now, why would God love me? I kept looking at myself and trying to find something that was worthy to be loved by God, and I knew how many kind of terrible things I had done and the fact that I had not done everything perfectly. And it was hard for me to hear and believe that God loved me. And so I know how it is. If you happen to be listening tonight and you may be going through some difficult circumstances, or you may be evaluating yourself based on your past or some things that you've done that you know did not please God, and you may be wondering, how in the world could God love me? Well, I want to let you know, the scriptures teach that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God does love you, and we know because the Bible says so. That's the main reason, and that should be the only reason that you need, is the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God say that God loves you and that he is ready to make you right and to forgive you for anything that you have done that is not according to his word. So you know what, the Apostle John had the same problem realizing that, but when he understood it, it was one of those things that knocked him off his feet. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Imagine that. God has adopted all of those who trust in the name of his only Son, Jesus Christ, into his family, and he puts us at the same status as a son. Those who believe in the Son of God, the Bible says, will not be put to shame, but will have everlasting life. They enter into a relationship with God the Father, and this is an indissoluble relationship that's established by God himself. And so basically it's something that comes from God to you and me. And so it is a blessing to realize. John was knocked off his feet because he realized that God's love had been extended to him. The good news is, no matter who you are and what you have done, if you desire to be right with God, you should take God up on his offer. God has sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8, in order to make him a ransom for the sins of many. And so if you happen to be one of those many and you believe in him, then that's what God requires, is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be accounted to you for righteousness. Now John went on to say, beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see that? And in other words, this is not a future transaction. The moment you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right at that very second, God has adopted you into his family to be, in regard to him as a son. You become like a son of God, and God receives you by adoption into his own family. And he says this, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, in other words, God's still working on us. It's not readily apparent everything that we shall be. God is constantly working on those who have come into a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. So John says here that it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, in other words, when Jesus returns, that's at the time when the completion of our salvation will take place, we shall be like him. That's beautiful news. We shall be like him. Do you know what? When Jesus came in the world, he was like us. He took on the form of a man. He was found in fashion as of a man, it says over in the book of Philippians in the second chapter. And so he appeared like us. Now, there's some very interesting things here. I want to just share these with you tonight because this is what the Lord had put on my heart to say to you tonight, you who are listening in the radio land. Is that, think about this, when God created man, first of all, the Bible says, in the image of God created he him. It says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own likeness, and in our likeness, basically. So God made man in his likeness, and then when God came into the world to do salvation, to take care of the work that was necessary for you and me to be redeemed from the law of sin and death, Jesus came and took on our likeness, our physical likeness. He had given us his spiritual likeness in the creation when he created man. And then he came into our likeness. It says here in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. See that? So now we see that God came in the likeness of men. Jesus was found in fashion, it says, as a man. In other words, he appeared to be a mere man when he came into the world. So God had blessed man with the likeness of God, and in the very beginning in the creation when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and that we believe that is the conversation that took place in the Godhead between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they said among themselves to let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. And so God did us the great blessing of giving us characteristics that are like him. You see, and I think that's what the scriptures teach when they talk about the fact that we are creative beings. And look how creative man is. Look at all the things that man was able to take and create out of the material. God supplied the raw material, and he gave man time, and he gave man the capability of knowledge and of learning, and man has come up with some very, very fascinating things that he created with the stuff that God made. But he didn't ever create anything, but he took those things that God had already made, and he has made many wonderful things. So since we have the capability to fly through the air and to send our voice through the air by radio and all kinds of things through television and refrigeration and computers and going into space, and we can do all kinds of things. Man has been quite creative with the things that God made and the resources that God has provided. And so in that way, man is a very, very crafty individual. And so basically it says here in Philippians 2 that God made himself, God the Son, who was equal with God the Father, as it says in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 2, made himself of no reputation. In other words, he didn't come down to a high office. He was just born as a simple peasant child in Bethlehem of Judea to a couple of common earthly parents. Of course, he only had one true earthly parent, and that was Mary, not Joseph himself, but God was his father, and he had Mary as his mother here on earth, and he came in the likeness of men, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, here it says that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so here we see that Jesus was willing to take on our appearance. In other words, he took our physical appearance. And so God had made man in his spiritual appearance originally. And here we see God the Son taking on man's physical appearance and then allowing himself or even humbling himself to become obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, the death of the cross was the most hideous death that the Son of God was subjected to at the hands of men. And, of course, he died there on the cross by his own free will. He was willing to lay his life down in order to do the work that was necessary that God the Father required for your salvation and for mine. The purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ was to make himself a ransom for your sin and for mine. Not only for yours and mine, but also for the sin of the whole world. He came into the world, and the world was made by him, it says in John chapter 1, but the world knew him not. And so basically his purpose for coming was to fulfill what you and I lacked and to take up the difference between the things that you and I could not provide. In other words, God required a perfect sacrifice. It was to a perfect man that God entrusted the world, and so God required that a perfect man redeem the world from sin. And so he became that man. He sent his own son to be that man in order that he might stand between death, hell in the grave, and every punishment that all of us deserve for our many sins, and that he might receive to himself the judgment and the wrath of God in order that you and I who believe in him might be set free from the law of sin and death. And so if you're out there tonight and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, we wanted to make very plain to you the purpose of the cross and the coming of the Son of God. The Son of God came in order to give himself as a ransom or a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. And all the Bible says, everyone who puts their trust in him will not be put to shame. They will not be put to death. They will have defeated death, hell, and the grave. And so it's a wonderful thing to understand the gospel. Now, the very, very best news is that when Jesus had done that, when he had completed what the Father required in order for you and I to be saved, he died. In other words, he gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. He had already previously predicted that no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. So he had laid his own life down. All that violence that took place on Calvary was not enough violence to kill him. He could not die at the hands of men. He could not die at the whims of Satan. He could not die no matter what the government had done against him and falsely executing him. There was nothing on earth or in heaven or even in hell that could destroy the Son of God. And so that's what you need to know. The fact is, what we saw on the cross was Jesus Christ fulfilling what the scriptures had said in their entirety, filling out every little detail that was necessary for the Word of God to be true. In other words, he came to ratify the testimony of the prophets, to make their testimonies true. And so he came and he went through everything that was necessary. Now let me say this. If you read the gospel accounts about the mutilation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you will see that there is no possible way on earth that any human being who was simply a man could have endured the cross. The cross was a horrible thing, and basically no one could have endured it. The two thieves that were crucified with Jesus were not subjected to the violence that he was. They were being treated badly, surely enough, and they deserved the punishment that they were receiving, but they did not get marred and mutilated beyond recognition like Jesus did. Because of Christ, their day went a lot better than it would have had he not been there. He was the center of focus throughout the crucifixion, and they came and they poured out their wrath and evil and violence of all types were poured out upon him, and basically no normal human being could have taken all that upon them at one time. No possible way you or I could have endured it. We would have died on the scourging floor, being scourged. We never would have made it to carry the cross as far as Jesus did. But the fact is, Jesus was more than just a man. He was God, veiled in human flesh, who had come to do the work of salvation in order that he might deliver you and me from the curse of sin, which is death. The Bible says, whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame. Now, not only did he die, so what happened? Let's just summarize this since our time is getting away from us here. We know that Jesus commended his spirit to the Father. He said to him, he cried out with a loud voice, the Bible says, after he had fulfilled everything necessary in order to fulfill the law and the prophets. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he commanded his spirit to depart from his body. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost after he had done that. And so it was a willful thing that he willfully sacrificed his life in order that you and I might be clean and free from the law of sin and death. That's why John is knocked out here when he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's what God did and provided in order for you to become his child, for him to adopt you into his family, was he allowed his own son to receive the penalty of death for you. Jesus willfully did that because of his great love wherewith he loves you. And so in exchange for that, after Jesus died, that's not the end of the story. That's just really the beginning. Because Jesus stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights, the Bible tells us, in order to fulfill what had been written in the law and the prophets. And he did that in order to go and proclaim to those who had died in faith the good news that the Son of God had come, the sacrifice had been rendered, the blood had been shed that was required for the remission of their sins, the death had been paid that was required as the penalty in order to provide them with what they needed in order to be able to enter into the kingdom of God and be free from all sin and all penalty of sin. And the proclamation went forth, and basically Jesus was there proclaiming the victory. And then after 3 days and three nights, according to the gospel record, he rose from the dead because he was guilty of any sin. So having committed no sin of his own, he was able to rise from the dead in order to show that death had been defeated and swallowed up in victory. And so that's a wonderful thing, that death was swallowed up in victory. And you know, any religion that you happen to be practicing, of which, of course, Jesus said there's only two, either you believe in me or you don't. If you don't believe in him, and whatever you have for religion does not include resurrection from the dead, then it is of no value whatsoever. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so he said that basically there are only two gates and there's only two paths that you can walk on. Either you're walking with him, or he says, he who is not with me is against me. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, He who does not gather with me scattereth abroad. So you're either working with the Son of God and walking with him, or you're involved in something else. He said, whatever it is, it cannot save you. It cannot deliver you from the law of sin and death. But all who trust in the name of the Son of God will be forgiven of all their sin. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And that's what John was overwhelmed about here in chapter 3 of 1 John, when he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, he said basically that's why the world does not know us, because it did not know him. And he said, beloved, now are you the sons of God. If you desire to know today that you are saved, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the good news that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible promises that you will be saved. And that is the first step in getting right with God, and we want to make sure you understand that. Love Radio Ministry is blessed to come to you on this station at this time, and we're glad that you tune in here, and we ask you to continue to tune in at this particular time. And don't forget about the Straight Gate Ministries website. We want to recall your attention to that at teachingbible.org. That's one word, long word, bring that all together, no break or space or dash, just teachingbible.org, and you can pick up some additional information from us. And once again, we want to mention the J-Max Multipurpose Center, 11830 West Florissant. And that is the flea market coming up on July 9, 16, 23, and 30 from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's quite a bit of time there. Call in if you want information about booth space at 314-868-3338. Well, we see our time's about to wind down, and we're glad that you tune in. We pray that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will be in attendance tomorrow. Go to a church and spend your time there hearing the Word of God. And remember this, that every step we take with Jesus, because every breath we make, it comes from the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Love Ministry broadcast. For more information about Love Ministry, write to Love Ministry at Post Office Box 52242, St. Louis, Missouri 63136. Or call Love Ministry at 314-868-3338. That's 314-868-3338. And remember, every step you take with